Good morning and welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, we have in our foyer our bulletins that were handed out to you. If you did not receive one, we still have more out there. Inside, there's a couple handouts. A lot of them go with this morning's message. One is our little half sheet, the orange one, which is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill that out that says guests and members the opposite side. Any prayer concerns or announcements, please fill it out on there and put in the offering plate at the offering time. All right, if everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Stacy, go ahead and put my lapel mic on. I'll go ahead and use this one then. All right, we just sang a song, and it ended, Jesus was Jesus was born to save. Jesus was born to save. All right, we've mentioned this, but in real time, we want to show you. we've been having baptisms here. Lots of baptisms, actually. And many of you were here to witness them and see them. And we don't always show all the... We take videos of as many things as we can, but we don't always go back and show those right away because we know that lots of people are in there in the service and witnessed it. But sometimes we do private baptisms, and we know that you may not even know that someone got saved. Jesus was born to save, and we want to share. As I'm talking, go ahead and turn off all the lights. This video starts right as soon as you hit go, it starts. I don't want you to miss anything here. But when Faith Kelly was baptized, we had a big service, and there were a lot of people that her fan club, 22, I think. I forgot how many people. There were a lot of people that came out. It was nice, big service. But there was someone in that service that saw that baptism, and after the service, she says, "I'd like to do that." And so we studied with Debbie. Debbie has been coming with Judy Perry, and Debbie's been slowly learning through some of the classes that we have here at the church. We studied with her that afternoon, and two hours after Faith Kelly was baptized, we witnessed this. You can go ahead and show that.
Based upon your confession and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins and that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, take a deep breath. Here we go. All
right. Yay! Ah. Hallelujah.
Congratulations. All right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
All right, and she had her fan club. Judy Perry was there. And Judy, I know, has been instrumental in trying to get Debbie LeClaire. If you're not familiar with her last name, LeClaire. And she's here. Debbie, raise your hand back there. Stand up. Do something so we can all see you. Yes. All right. She, if you haven't got a hug from Debbie, you will. All right. And I think some of our younger kids are going to exit now, but we wanted to show you that. Now, this is kind of this was going to be a missions Sunday, but this is an extra big mission Sunday in some ways because I did not know that someone was going to be here. Now, I knew the supplies were all going to be here, but I did not know that Johnny Bozorek was going to be here representing the mission down in Haiti. As you came in today, there you saw some tables set up and some things that are out there, and you see little price tags on there. I'm going to let her say a little bit more about that, but just know that anything back there is probably for sale if you wish to purchase it, but know that the proceeds go toward the mission that I'm going to let her speak just a moment on. But I know that we have so many new members here that you don't know John and Johnny Wazork, but it's interesting that she comes on this Sunday with David and Edda Sepulveda here, because I heard her just say today, and I already knew this, but I heard her say right to David, particularly in the foyer, that he was the inspiration because for her and her husband to go to the mission field because they went on one of our missions trips from our church down to the Dominican Republic, not Haiti, but you got the wrong side of the island. You know, she went to the Dominican Republic for the first time with our church. And did you go once or twice? Once, okay. And we've had several that went more than once just to get a real rich flavor of the mission field. And I believe you get that on these short-term mission trips, to go to a third world country and to be introduced slowly into the culture and what goes on and what happens. And so they went, and they came back. I knew they had a great time. They talked about it for quite a while. And then through just time, they ended up leaving our church, went over to Port Orange Christian Church. They supported that mission, I believe, and so got challenged and then went to Haiti. I'll let her tell you about the mission there for 2 years. But it's interesting. Here's your inspiration right back there that got you down there. And then she's here today to represent her mission with some of the things that have been made back there. And so we're going to let Johnny just share for a moment here about her mission and maybe their brief history down there.
Well, good morning. I didn't know I was going to talk, but anyhow. God chooses where you go. I would have never chose Haiti. I probably would have chose the Dominican Republic. But my husband and I did go down for 2 years. Our commitment was 2 years. And what the Three Angels Mission down there has a school, a clinic, and an orphanage. My husband and I ran the guest house, and I was also in charge of another mission attached to that mission, which is called Bijou. And Bijou, the locals, I had 8 to 10 people come that were local. I'd give them supplies, and they would take those supplies home, paper and jewelry tidbits, and make the jewelry at home and then bring it back the next week. So everything out there is made locally in Haiti, and then the money gets put back into the missions. If you have any questions, feel free to come up to me and ask me. I could talk your ear off about it. Thank you.
All right. We will continue on in our service.
I'd like to read from God's Word. Psalm 126, 1 through 3 says, "When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them.' The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy."
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to be singing "Here I Am" to worship.
You.
All right, we got several needs that I need to share with you. And let me start with one praise report. Ann Adams is on our back row back there. And it's good to see her. many of you probably don't know she had a heart attack. And I didn't know. We went Carolyn, and we went and saw her, and the group sang, and then she tells us at the end that she had had a heart attack. So that was news to me. But then she was telling me this morning that no better place to have one than in the hospital with your doctor right there. You know, she had gone to see, I guess, her doctor, and it was just, it all happened right there where all the help was. She got it, and she's here today. So that's a good thing. But I know she can continue to use our prayers. She certainly has her lung and breathing issues that is very critical, and we want to keep on praying. On that line, we need to pray for Al Miles. Okay, he's he was in the hospital last Sunday, all right, and he was thinking he was going to be home on Monday, maybe Tuesday, and he's still there. He's thinking he may be home on Monday or Tuesday this week, but he's that's a long time for a very active person, and Al is that very active. To be told you can't get out of bed, you can't get out of this room, you can't go running and doing what you want to do. We got things to do, and I'm not sure if they're to the bottom of all his issues, but that's what he's been in there for. So we want to pray. We want to pray that maybe he will go home this Monday or Tuesday, but hopefully with a good report, maybe a good knowledge of what. Is causing some of his complications with his breathing and some dizziness that he's been having, and we want to pray him through on that. Judy Turner, if you've not heard, has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and it is the really fast growing type, and so we definitely want to keep her in our prayers here in the next few weeks as things begin to move on that and trying to get the help that she needs and hopefully cancer removed maybe from her body. Paige Mallard, I don't see any Mallards here today or Cindy, so we need to keep that whole family in our prayers, but if you have not heard, Paige has been diagnosed with acute leukemia. And it's not good for Paige Mallard. So just know that things from here on is going to probably become more difficult for her. Her bones are not producing what she needs. And her body is rejecting the transfusions that they've been trying to give her. So that's not a good prognosis at all for anything long term. So let's just pray that God intercedes, helps Paige. Let's pray for Cindy, during this time for that major health issue for that family. And then let's just continue to pray for some of the families that have been struggling, the Grimes, the Gundersons, Eleanor Robbins, all of them having just ongoing health issues that have kept them from church, but hopefully maybe they're not in the hospital, they're at home, but things that they're struggling with right now. All right, let's go to God with these needs before his throne. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to boldly come into your throne, and we do with many needs in our church here today. I pray, Father, first of all, for Al Miles that has been struggling over the last few days. I know know that the longer you keep a good man down, it begins to wear him down. And so I just pray that hopefully enough has been done, enough tests have transpired where they know possibly the treatment and what needs to happen for him. And we pray he can get on home and back to the service that he wants to be involved in. Father, I pray for Judy and Chuck Tarner as they face this cancer that she has become aware of. We just pray that you'll be with those that are attending to her, helping her with this type of cancer. We know it's fast-growing, and so we know that things have to happen quickly. And so we pray that that will take place. We pray for the Mallard family, Father. We know that they are struggling. Pray for your healing hand upon Paige. We know that they've not given her any good news at all. And lots of the tests that she's not passing is just making it more grim. But I just pray that maybe, if it be your will, that you can touch her body and give her more life, Father, if possible. We pray for Sonny during this time. I pray for Cindy, who's trying to help and assist her parents at this time. And I know other adult children doing the same. Just pray for all of them, Father, as they try to surround Paige and Sonny during this critical time of health concern. We continue our prayers for the Grimes, Father, and the Gundersons, Eleanor Robbins. They all still are struggling with their own health concerns at home and still are having difficulties, but we just pray you'll continue to give them wisdom and knowledge of what is best for them and what would help heal them completely so we can see them back with our family soon. It's good to see Ann Adams, Father, today, and I thank you that she was in the right place at the right time so that they could so that they were able to do what they did, and probably saved her on that moment, and here she is today with us, and I know that her breathing is still labored, and it's difficult for her, but I pray that you'll continue each day to give her just a little extra strength, Father, and a little knowledge of your presence and your spirit that surrounds her. Father, I pray for my wife's parents, Glenn and Carolyn Bourne. We know that they both, one day apart, both fell, and Glenn injuring his wrist and arm, and Carolyn her hip. We thank you that her surgery has gone well, but we know therapy is sometimes difficult and can go longer than you want. And so I just pray that she will heal quickly. Carolyn, I pray that Glenn's wrist will heal nicely as well, and that the two of them can feel your presence during this time of pain and suffering that they're both going through. Thank you again for today, and thank you for hearing our prayers in our time of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Look at the cross, if you will. A cross served as the means of execution for Jesus, whose death was planned by God and carried out by sinful men. The message of the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews, for they were expecting a powerful deliverer rather than one who died a cruel, painful, disgraceful death, a death which, according to the Old Testament, brought a divine curse on the one crucified. Certainly that could not be the Messiah that they were looking for. The cross was foolishness to the Gentiles, non-Jews, for only the worst criminals were ever crucified. Yet through the cross, Jesus brought salvation, setting us free from the curse of God, forgiving our sins, winning the victory over His and our enemies, bringing us back to God and giving us life that will never end. As believers crucified with Christ, we must now live new lives, putting our sinful natures to death daily, imitating Jesus' commitment to do the will of the Father, and willingly obeying Jesus, even when it threatens our security and our comfortableness, even if it leads unto death. We do not worship the cross, but rather we worship the Christ of the cross. One cannot think and meditate upon the great sacrifice that Christ made without a keen awareness of the cross, which is the center of God's plan of redemption for mankind. And so as we think about those things here today, let's now pray and prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this moment and our service here on Sunday to put the brakes on, to stop, to try our best to clear our busy and cluttered minds many times so that we can, for just a few moments, Father, picture a cross. We know that you're not on that cross because your word tells us that your son Jesus is at your right side now. But that symbol of a cross and the emblems that we are about to partake, the bread and the juice, help us to sharply focus on what I believe is most important, and that is to remember for all times that your salvation to mankind is free. But it cost you dearly. And may we, with the help of these symbols and emblems, be reminded of that here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's in your bulletins. Just trying to get you in order here of the things that we need to be doing. You should find a little blue card. You need to hold that to the end of our service today. All members know exactly what that is. New members will explain this more in detail. You should have a form in there that says, "What is faith promise?" And have that kind of ready for just a little bit. And then you have a summary. Some people ask, well, what have we done this past year? And over here on our thermometer, you can see, and maybe I'll do this right now. Testing, power, all right. If you were here with us last year, almost to this Sunday, we made our faith promise, which is the way we support our missions program here, and we promised $29,730. The arrow that's been up here all year is to indicate that last year, that's what we promised, but last year we gave about 25,000, and this is why we put the arrow right there to remind us where we were. Now, this is where we are today, and that's what you see on your sheet, 18,583, and so I'm just going to go ahead and move this down here. This arrow will be, I don't know if that'll stay now or not, but this arrow will mark that spot, and now we know what we did this past year. Just know that with faith promise and with soul faith promise, they are promises. We never know what's going to happen. This was probably the worst year in the history of our church as far as attendance. And when your attendance is down, usually your offerings are down. And they were on our general budget, but you can see they were down just a bit here on missions as well. But that's what this sheet is all about. You can see that $18,581 came in, and then you can see how that was distributed throughout the year. I would bring your attention to the PER 226 Resource Ministry, and that is our Living Link missionary. And you can see they got the bulk of it, okay? And that's by design. And we're all in with this couple and what they're trying to accomplish there in the Dominican Republic. David and I, our history goes back almost 35 years of being involved with this island and the people on the island. And Benito and Rosa Martinez, we met 35 years ago, and we were challenged, David and I, as leaders of the church in Jacksonville, challenged to take Benito and Rosa on as national missionaries, actually, not missionaries from the States, but people that lived right there that needed supporting, and we took that on, and they continue to be involved in both of our lives to a large degree. But our support is not going to Benito or Rosa, although we see them every time we're down there. It goes to David and Etta and their resource ministry. And as we've done the last few years, I'm going to ask David here in just a moment if he'll come. He's going to share with you, give you a report. If you think we had a tough year, I bet he's going to tell you churches down there had a tough year, and so we'll just listen and find out what has been going on, and hopefully maybe hear a few challenges of what we can continue to do. So if you'll have those sheets all out in front of you and hold on to them, I will be referencing those here again after David has finished. So David, whoop. Let's get that back on there. David's going to come and share with us at this point.
Well, good morning, South Haven. That's the American greeting. We're going to go to Dominican greeting, but there's so many additions that they're not trained. So we're going to have to train them now. The rest of you are already trained, but if you forgot, because I only come here once a year, it'll be a refresher for you. So in the Dominican Republic, when anyone is going to address the congregation, instead of good morning, what they say is Dios les bendiga, which is God bless you. And then the congregation responds with an amen or amen, depending on what part of the world you're in. But if the reply is too tepid, then the speaker will say, Dios le bendiga más, God bless you more. And then they get a little more revved up. So to those of you that are new to the South Haven family, now you know Dominican church etiquette. So we'll start all over again. Well, we already did the American greeting. We're going to do the Dominican greeting now. Dios le bendiga.
Amen.
Dios le bendiga más.
Amen.
Okay, you're ready for a mission trip. I do that every time I come. I get that part of my speech right. Anyway, Mike asked me to give you a report of what's going on in the Dominican Republic. Obviously, COVID has ruined everybody's lives everywhere. And the churches were shut down in the Dominican Republic. And literally, they were shut down for a year. And the population in general, let me back up two steps. The government has been a little over anxious, in my opinion, not to get political. But the result of that is that the general population has just been terrified of this COVID thing. And even now, when cases are very, very low, I just spoke to Rosa last week, there's still a lot of fear and apprehension. They just instituted, within the last month, a vaccine mandate. And like thousands of people would show up at the center to get vaccinated, and they wouldn't have enough vaccines, enough personnel, enough time. So what they did as an option is they said, okay, if you go get a PCR test, you know, that it's good for 2 weeks. That'll give you time to get your vaccine, except it takes a week to get the results back. So really, it's only a week. So people had to do that, and Benito went and got his shot and stuff. And we have not been vaccinated, nor do we intend to, but that's just our preference. So we have to figure out what's going to happen when we get there, because I don't know if I can get in the grocery store. So I may be real thin when we get back. We may have to have somebody go in our stead into the grocery store and get us food until we figure out what we're going to do. But anyway, so COVID has wreaked its havoc. And slowly the churches have been reinstating their educational program, their Sunday school program. And there's still about half a dozen of them where they're meeting for worship. They're doing some stuff virtually, some Bible studies virtually, like in-home Bible studies. They do those virtually, some of them. But there's about half a dozen of them where the children have not come back. They don't have anything to offer the children, and the children haven't come back. So that's what we're facing. It's a little bit difficult, but at least they're cranking up. We're hoping that maybe this year coming up, the remaining half a dozen or so might reopen up their educational program. For those of you that aren't really familiar with this, we started off in 2010 with 238 kids in five churches. And what we did at the beginning is we, Ed and I, we would prepare a turnkey lesson. I actually bought one here at once, and we did some of the exercises that were in there. We'd take a box with 13 lessons that were all packaged, and we'd take one to each of the five churches. And then when those ran out, we'd take them another 13, and we'd pick up the previous ones. Well, that's pretty easy when it was 238 kids, because sometimes some of those lessons will have a puzzle, and the puzzle has to be printed on cardstock and then cut out and then put in a little envelope. So the kids get the puzzle, and that's part of the exercise that they do during the class. So when it got to 500, 600 kids, that's a lot of cutting for just two of us to do. So some of you here, some of the ladies here, helped out with some of that. One time you cut out some little fuzzy hearts on some fabric, and that red stuff flew everywhere. Mike told me about that. But we're still using some of the stuff that you prepared for us. So anyway, as that number got to be more churches and more kiddos, it became a little more difficult for us to do all the detailed work to prepare individual lessons. So about 3 years ago, we started on a program where we were going to house a lesson, a library lesson in each church. So what we tried to do is replicate what we have in our resource room. We have one room in the mission house where we have all of our stuff and work tables and stuff, and that's where we work and put everything together and where all our supplies are. So we tried to do a smaller scale version of that that we would put in each church. And what we did is we trained a lesson coordinator in each church to basically put together, assemble the lesson, put it in a Ziploc bag, give it to the teacher so they can present their lesson turnkey, then they return it and they put everything back in their library so everything stays in order. Dominicans are not really highly organized as a people, nor are they timely as a people. Mike can tell you about that. But they're coming along and they're doing pretty well with that because we were up to about 20 churches with about 1,000 kids. We added 2 churches last year. So technically we're up to 22 churches and about 1,150, maybe 1,200 students, if you count them all, but there we're down from that because of the half a dozen or so that haven't restarted. Interesting thing on one of those, we went to this church and I said, how many kids you have? And he said, 96. The church building is half of the size of this building. So we have a process that we instituted to take a church on. It's an interview process. We go and we interview them and find out what they're doing, who they have as staff, all volunteer staff, et cetera. Is there someone that we would be willing to learn to be a lesson coordinator, et cetera, et cetera. And after that first interview, we say, okay, we're going to bring you some sample lessons for a month. So you can try them out for a month, see if you like them, if your teachers like them, if the students like them. And if so, then we'll bring the full thing, all the lessons for the whole year, a cabinet for it, and all the supplies and everything. We'll train the teachers. So Etta trains the lesson coordinator, and I train the teachers on how to use the manual and stuff. So we did that process with the church. And we interviewed them, and then we gave them the sample lessons, and then we gave them the full lesson library. Well, they sent me some pictures when they did the trial lessons that they were doing, and it wound up being about 60 kids that are preschool and 30 that are elementary. So it's really about 90 kids altogether. They had all in that one building, and they sent us pictures, and these kids are on the floor doing their lessons. Because I said, well, do you have any tables? He said, well, I got 3 tables, you know, for 90 kids. So one of the things that we did is we get these ceiling tiles that are corrugated plastic, and I cut those in sizes that are about, 20 inches, about this size. About the size of a food tray. Put tape around the corner so they don't cut their fingers. We drill a hole in it that you can put a plastic cup in, and we call those lap desks. So we took them 100 lap desks. Took me 6 days to do them by myself, cutting them up. So we took them their lap desks, and then they sent us pictures. They're sitting in chairs with their lap desk, and they also use that for their snack. So when they get done with their lesson, then there's somebody that contributes, a business owner, contributes to the snack for the Sunday school lesson when they have all those 90-plus kids there. The day we went, they had hot dogs for them. So sometimes it's a hot meal. So now they have a lap desk as opposed to trying to finagle their food without having anywhere to put it because they don't have tables for 96 kids. That just gives you an idea of the dynamic where, you know, we're accustomed to Sunday school. Oh, you've got a room for them. You've got lighting for them. You might have a TV or a projector for them. You have tables. You have chairs. Well, they don't have any of that. They just have the church building, which has plastic chairs, not pews, not upholstered, and that's where everything is done for everybody. So the children meet on Saturday. They're doing a great job there. So that was one of the last two that we added on. So again, we're technically up to around 22. We received four phone calls from four other churches that have approached us to see if we can supply them with materials. We're scheduled to meet with them. They communicated with me within a month of the date we were going to leave. So I said, we're going to be back in January, Lord willing. We've got a ladies' conference at the end of January, so I'll be busy with that. But once that's over in February, we'll communicate and we'll set up a time where we can meet. And here's the interview process. I explained the three-step interview process, etc. I don't know how many kids they have, but that's an additional four churches. Three of those churches are way on the East Coast. It takes 4.5 hours to get there. They are in, one of them is in the area where Punta Cana is. If anybody knows about tourism in the Dominican Republic, that is the tourist spot in the Dominican Republic. So one of those four churches is there. There's an airport you can fly right into there, but I have to drive. So we're going to be meeting with them. Again, the main gist of our ministry there is Christian education materials. That's what we do. And now that it's getting to be that big, the lesson libraries installed in each church has provided us with the ability to expand to go to other churches because, you know, if you have a lesson that has 1,000 puzzles that you have to print and cut out, who got blisters that time you guys went down there? You were cutting up. There we go. Okay. Yeah. You guys did some cutting for us and stuff down there. And somebody took a picture with their cell phone of the blisters they had. And there was 6 people from South Haven that were there helping with that. Well, when you're not there, we're doing that. So at least what we do now is we still do the cutting and those details because we don't want the lesson coordinator to have to do that. So we still do that. Except some of that you've already done for us. So the lesson coordinator basically just has to package everything. Other than that, we'll pre-process some stuff. So that's the main thing that we do. So I don't know how many more churches we can add on. I did get a survey, and I found that there were 12 Christian churches of our persuasion that we've never even talked to. So there's 12, and those 12 did not include the three on the eastern end that called me. So there's probably about another 15 churches that we have never even attempted to reach because we don't want to overextend ourselves and get beyond our skis, so to speak, where people want to receive our materials and we don't have the funds to do that. By the way, all of the funds that we receive are spent on ministry. Etta and I receive no salary, but it works out. We haven't starved to death yet, so it's working out fine. So that's kind of the update in general on the educational front. The next thing, and by the way, there's a little sheet of paper here that is out on the table, and there's about 13 areas of ministry that we're involved with. I'm not going to go through all of them because you can pick up a sheet and look at them. But the second thing that has become a major thing for us is the conferences. We started with a youth conference for teenagers. Well, 2020, we didn't have one. 2021, we didn't have one. So we've skipped that twice. We have a family ministry conference, which basically brings in people from a Swiss Cove Christian Church that are involved with children's ministry, family ministry, and they come in and they put on like a workshop for the churches to share amongst themselves and with the people from the states that come in regarding children's ministry. That is scheduled to be done every 2 years. So it was done in 18. It was supposed to be done in 2020. COVID nixed that. So we moved the 2020 to 2021. Well, COVID nixed that. So both of those conferences have missed 2 years. successively. I have the camp reserved for the youth conference July 8th, 2022. I'm hoping we can get that one done. The ladies' conference we've been able to do every year because the ladies' conference is at the end of January and COVID hit March or so. So we were able to sneak in the ladies' conference in 2020. Then in 2021, we had to move it from January to May, so we were able to squeeze that one in. So we have not missed that one at all. That is growing. That started with just under 100 ladies, and I forget how much it was the second year, and then the third year in 2020, it was 113, and then the last one that we did was, 145. And we have reservations for 190 for the end of January coming up, not including the American ladies. We have a ladies from three different churches, Kansas City, two in Florida, actually one in Tennessee. So we have about 18 ladies that are scheduled to go down the end of January for a ladies' conference. So we should be over 200 when you add the American contingent. And I still have four churches that have not responded. And the deadline is, I think, December 15th. So that's as far as the conferences are concerned. I think the ladies were just going stir crazy. And, you know, they were all locked up with COVID. So we said, yeah, we're going to have the conference. And they said, yeah, I'm out of here, man. You figure out what you're going to do with the kids. And they showed up. And then the camp has health protocols, temperature checks, et cetera. So we're very careful with that. We have a donor that has been sponsoring the Bible college education of two young men in the Dominican Republic. And they're scheduled to graduate in 2022. They both want to go on to master's degrees. So we're going to talk with the donor that has been sponsoring them for the last 4 years. We don't know how much it's going to cost, but we're going to see if that donor is willing to continue to do at least what that person has been doing up to now to assist with that. So we have two young men that will be graduating from Bible college next year. And this is unofficial. You know, we're not so young anymore, and one of these days we're going to be too old, too decrepit, or too dead to keep doing what we're doing, and we would like for that to continue. So one of the two young men that's in Bible college now, one is an excellent motivational speaker. I mean, he can get you all fired up. The other one is highly organized, very much people-oriented, loves people. And he goes out and takes meals to the elderly, communion, etc. So he's kind of the people person of the two. The other one is more of an inspirational kind of speaker. And we're going to see how we might be able to take on, not as an employee, because the labor laws there are different. We, as an organization, are a 501c3 organization. In this country, we don't have a legal entity in the Dominican Republic, so we can't hire people. But we can give somebody an offering. So what we're thinking is if we can, Benito's thinking, if I can have him on staff at the church, basically paying him for doing what he already does, because he does many different areas of ministry. He's also a worship leader. He also teaches a Sunday school class of the teenagers. He also does an in-home Bible study. And he's about to get married, which means he needs income. And so we're thinking if we can maybe have him do some, like an internship program, where maybe I can take him with me to deliver stuff so he sees where these places are, learns who the people are, etc., so that gradually over time he can learn to do what we do, particularly what I do when I hit the road, so that in the next few years or so, he might be doing more of that. Because, you know, I'm a heart attack away from not being able to do this. And so we're thinking about that. We're praying about that. We haven't even talked to him about that. That's why I say this is unofficial information. But this is something that Benito, the Dominican preacher there, has kind of brainstormed with us as to how we can do that. Because the problem they've had there is they've had many people, many young people go to Bible college. In the early days, in the 70s and the 80s, they'd send them to Eagle Pass, Texas. The problem is they'd come back to the Dominican Republic and there was no work for them. So they'd go off to do some secular work and they never did any paid ministry work that would provide them with a living. So they'd have a vocational, vocational job, secular job, to support whatever church work that they could do, which is the same thing that you and I do as basic church people. So that's something that we're looking into in the future, basically some kind of succession so that our organization can continue, you know, when we're no longer able to or no longer around. We also sponsor two lunch programs. Now, some of you that have been down there have been to one of those lunch programs. That one has about 40 kids in it. There's another lunch program that has about 100 kids in it. Now, what they do is their lunch program is the day of their Sunday school class, which is usually on a Saturday, because Sunday there's no room in church because it's a one-room facility. So we have about 140 kids that are fed a meal one day per week, the day that they meet for Sunday school. And it costs about $1.45 per kid per meal, times 140 kids times 52 weeks. It adds up to about $75 a year per kid. $10,500 pays for that for the whole year. We've been paying for the smaller of the two, the 40 kids, just paying that out of the general offerings that we receive. The larger one, we had a donor that sent us $4,000 for basically half a year. And that ends the end of December of this year. So we, in our newsletter, the latest one we sent out, and on our Facebook page, we have a campaign we're running now to see if we can fund that $10,500 for those meals, for those two lunch programs for the whole year, so that we're not in the position of having to use funds that should be dedicated towards education and literature, etc., to feed the kids. Now, it's important to feed them spiritually, but it's also important to feed them physically. One of these churches has a big Haitian community around it, and very few of them are legal. In the Dominican Republic, if you're there illegally, your kids can't go to school. You can't get aid, health, etc. I mean, if you're there illegally, their take is, if you're here illegally, you're not entitled to what we provide for our citizens. So, you know, be what it is, that's what it is. But it's kind of sad because there's no, like, government program for a needy, illegal Haitian kid, you know, one of nine or eight or whatever, to get a meal. So sometimes that's the only meal they get that Saturday when they go there. So anyway, that's a program that we do with those two churches. There are other churches that might be doing that. I don't know, and I don't ask because I don't want to know because I can't help. But anyway, if we can successfully do that, where maybe once a year we'll have a push for funding the lunch programs the following year, maybe we'll do that every December. So we're in the middle of doing that too. So let's see, what else do we do there? We haven't distributed backpacks for two summers now, because we gave them brand new backpacks in August of 2019. And by March, all the schools were shut down, and they were shut down for a whole year. So normally we distribute about 1,000 backpacks per year, and we hope to resume that this July. We do that in July. Their school year starts in August. And I'm thinking we may do a fundraiser for people to fund that specifically, because again, we've been doing that out of the general offerings that we receive, which we've been able to do, but we have two churches that we added and another four that might be coming on, so that's going to increase the expense that we have in providing lesson materials. So that's our priority. We have to make sure that we do that first. We're still doing some translation work on some books. The staff at Swiss Cove Christian Church, two of the three, the associate minister and the senior minister, both are prolific writers. They're authors. They write books and stuff. And they've written several books, and I've translated a few of them in Spanish. I'm still working on Baptism, A Simple Truth. I'm on the appendix section. The problem is the appendix section is about a third of the size of the book. So even though I'm finished technically with translation, I have all the appendixes that I have to translate. So essentially that's what's been happening. That's what's been going on. Of course, admission teams from the United States have dried up. We usually have about six teams per year usually come in. Three of those teams have historically been teams that come in to staff the three conferences, the ladies' conferences, the youth conference, and the family ministry conference. So then we have three other ones that are not tied to the conferences. So those have not occurred at all. So we're hoping to see if this year, if we can do the three conferences, we'll have three teams come in, and then typically when Mike comes, if he has a team that will come, so maybe somebody can come this year. COVID is way down in the Dominican Republic. I don't know how the vaccine mandate works with foreigners, because they have no authority to me to tell me that I have to have a vaccine, because I'm not a Dominican citizen. But they can make life impossible for me. But they want tourist dollars. The largest flow of income to the Dominican Republic is tourism. So they opened tourism way before they opened anything else because they needed the money. So the one requirement that we have now is, prior to leaving the Dominican Republic to return to the United States, you have to have a COVID test, a negative COVID test, to be able to board a plane to come back to the United States. And that was 3 days prior to flying. Now it's 1 day prior to flying, regardless of vaccination status. But that's not very difficult, because we had, at the ladies' conference, we had some ladies fly in Friday, and they were leaving Monday, just for the conference, not for the whole week. So they had to have their COVID test done the day after they arrived, which was conference day. So guess what? I talked to the camp manager, and she said, "Oh, no problem. I'll make a phone call. Tell me what time you want them to show up. They'll come. And they'll do the swabbing and the test and stuff, and then they'll bring back the results." So we were able to do everything at the camp and have our conference and everything. They came in, they swabbed them, they came back, they gave them their negative result, and they got on a plane that night, no problem. So it's not very difficult to do. So if you want to come, you can. We're still in the same mission house we've been now for, I don't know, 6 years, I think. I think we've been in 6 years. Big, comfortable. We can house up to 14 people there with airbeds. Without airbeds, we can house 8, 9, something like that. So that's pretty much it. We appreciate so much the support from South Haven. We couldn't do what we do without your help, without your contribution. When you send teams, that does a couple things for us. On the financial front, it helps us out a little bit economically, because we've programmed into the mission trip fee that we charge someone to go on a mission trip. We've programmed some funds in there that are basically to fill the coffers for educational material. So you're helping with what we spend on the materials, plus the rest is to feed you, to transport you, house you, and all those expenses that we have to do. So that's one thing. When you send people, you help us that way. Number two, please pray for us. You know, Etta's health is, you know, she's had surgery here and here and here and here and here and here, and I don't know how many other spots I've missed. And, you know, the surgery is always successful even if the patient dies. Talk to any surgeon. The surgery was successful. Well, how about the patient? Well, he died on the table, but the surgery was successful. It is, when you think of it as a surgeon. Did you open where you intended to open? Yeah. Did you remove what you intended to remove or insert what you were planning on inserting? Yeah. Did you close it up? Yeah. Surgery successful? Uh-huh. But the patient died. Oh, but the surgery is successful. So Etta's surgeries have all been successful, but she's in pain. She's still in pain here and there and everywhere else. So, you know, pray for her primarily and pray for me that I stay healthy. So far, I've been able to stay healthy. I just figure I'm going to be like my maternal grandfather. He was a bull. He was a moose until it was time. And boom, that was it. Grandma, she was sick all her life, and she survived him by 15 years. So I figure that's the way it's going to be with us. That's going to be popping pills and walking around with the cane, you know, banging on their grandchildren's heads and whatever. And, you know, I'll be gone. So, but so far, so good. I'm still holding up. I'm in Don's decade. We're right. Here you go, Don. Yeah, well, I'm in Don's decade. Anyway, the table out there, there's some little knickknacks. There's a couple mugs and some pens and some other stuff, you know, giveaway stuff. Maybe make sure to pick up one of these. And there's another sheet that kind of gives a history of when we started, et cetera. So that is there. And there's a little video running of the conferences and the children's program, lunch programs, and et cetera, on a little screen, so you can take a look at that. And then we'll be around just to say hey at you and answer any questions that you might have, especially some of the new folks that maybe aren't familiar with us. We'd be glad to bring you up to speed. And let me thank you again for your attention, and que Dios les bendiga. Amen. All right, you guys got it right. Thank you.
Is my lapel on? Okay. That is something I have missed. COVID has kept me from being down there. I'm usually on a schedule to be down there 3 times a year. And in 2020, I think I was like the ladies. I came so early in the year. COVID came about March, so I was able to get in that year one trip. I didn't get my last two. And then all this year, I haven't been able to go. So I am missing many of the people that I see and encourage, Benito and Rosa particularly. And I'm hoping that this next year, we won't go early, because I think we still have issues that are going to complicate things. But my third trip of the year is usually in August, and so that's what I'm shooting for, to try to start in August. So as you can hear, there's need for a team, and if we can get a team to go, that would be, I think, really good for the mission. Last few years, I've heard David say what he said here at the end, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around, and this, you know. And I said, let me tell you a story about Glenn Bourne. I said, he's redefined my retirement years. He's 96, and just last year, he stopped preaching. You know, so 96, and see, how old are you, David? 60. 25 more years to go, so stop that talk, you know, that nonsense talk about you're going here anytime soon, you know. Oh, yeah. But I hope that you will take a moment to look at the table. If you think that a trip is maybe something that you might be interested in, know that we supplement that trip, your first trip at least, we supplement, and your only expense would be your airfare. Everything else, and that is everything that is room and board for a week, is taken care of, and you just got to foot the airline ticket and any souvenirs that you want to buy, which is a great deal for a whole week experience on a mission field and getting a good flavor. So I hope that you'll think about that. We have to have a certain amount. We just don't take one down there for a team. You know, a team is a group, and we want to make sure that the dynamics are right as well. So sometimes one will sign up or two, and it's just not enough for it to logistically to be what we want it to be. So keep that in mind, that we are looking for, I think, five or more to be part of a team that would go if we do that. You have the other missions that we support. It's on your pink sheet. Take a minute to kind of glance at that so that you can see that we do support a couple other mission organizations, not a missionary per se. David and Etta are our missionaries that we feel we want to network with. We want to pour out a lot of effort to make their mission work. I've not heard anyone tell me, you know, I'm familiar with missionaries, and they raise support and they go to a mission field and they work in a church usually. But very few missionaries are you ever going to hear that minister to 22 churches on any given Sunday. Over 1,000 kids are receiving a lesson with a craft every week because of what PR226 is trying to accomplish down there. And that's a lot of seeds being planted, and we're part of that. So I'm really excited to see the fruit of that ministry, and hopefully many more years of service. I know that we do have a few new ones. That's why I went ahead and put this sheet in. What is Faith Promise? I hope that you will read the details of this. What is the faith in Faith Promise? What is the promise in Faith Promise, and why does it work? We do believe that it is a biblical program, process. The Apostle Paul challenged the churches around the world to support the church in Jerusalem when they were in the middle of a drought, and certainly said, I want you to be taking up, I'll be coming to take up your offering, but I want to give you plenty of warning that I'm coming so that you can plan on it. And that's what we do. We are telling you that this next year, David and Etta are going to be probably the biggest recipient of whatever we do here today. And then we will continue to support a few of these mission organizations because I think they are worthy of some support. Many of them tell us that we don't need a lot of support, we just need regular support, because they do have a lot of churches that send in that regular support to them on a weekly basis, and so all of it together makes it doable. But not so true sometimes on some of these missionaries. They don't have tons of churches all across the country sending them money, and that's why when a church finds one that is worthy of that support, it's worthy of the time and effort to pour not just money, but sweat and time and work into that ministry as well. And so I think you heard quite a few things you could be praying about. Some things that you can even be asking yourself, could I be a part of that? Can I help this mission in some way? We were told by Johnny this morning that when God calls, a lot of times you know the calling, you know, call to a work, call to a program, call to a ministry of some sort. And so we hope that you will look at that. All right, so we're going to do what we do every year. Go ahead and take this out. I'd like to ask those that are going to help us tabulate our faith promises, just like we do soul faith promise when it comes to the missions giving of our church. Whatever we promise today and next week, we do it 2 weeks because we know that some people can't always be here on the actual Sunday that we take these up, but this week and next, whatever we promise, that is what we then budget for the coming year so that we can continue to fund our missions program of our church. New people may be more familiar with churches that set aside a percentage of the budget. And I'm not sure, I could probably do the quick math, but I don't know what what percentage $18,000 would have been of our budget. But that might scare some people. You know, we're going to take that much of our budget and give it away when we got bills and things that we got to do here. And it is scary sometimes, but you see, this is why Faith Promise is such a great program, because you see that $18,000, which is really, at the beginning of the year, was $29,000. That's what we promised, and we had no idea. If you do a Faith Promise correctly, and many don't, but if you do a Faith Promise correctly, there has to be some faith in a promise in what you do. The faith comes because you're stepping out in faith and telling God before you make the promise, I don't have any money. I've already planned my giving for the year. I know what I'm going to give through my tithes to the church. And that's all taken care of locally. We got a budget for that. That's what we do here. The baptisms and things that we do here. That's our local church budget. If you've made a commitment to that, which we ask at the annual meeting, that's when you make that commitment and promise that you're going to support our budget, you should be tapped out. You've already decided what you're going to give. And so today I would hope that you don't know where any more money is going to come from to support missions. And if you tell me that, then I look at you right in the eyes and I say, now you're ready. Now you're ready to make a faith promise, because you see, that's where God comes in. God knows where you are, and He knows if you don't have any money. And what you're going to tell God in a promise is, God, I don't know where this is going to come from, but I'm going to step out in faith. And this, God doesn't do this for you. You got to do this. I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to make a promise of, and then you got to put the amount in. And that faith for different people will be a different number. I always tell people, if you've never done one, just promise a dollar, $5. If you don't know where it's going to come from, start small. Some people say, why do I read the faith promises? Because I want you to see that many of them start at a dollar, but some are much bigger. And I would tell you that some of those that are much bigger all started at a dollar. People each year step out in faith because they realize, man, God met that and more. I think I can step out on faith more this year and trust God that He will provide, because I've seen Him at work. And God will. These two programs, and that's why we advertise them and why we have boards up here, is all about faith. It's trusting God. It's taking that step of faith and saying, all right, God, I'm ready to see you at work, because I have no idea how I'm going to do what I'm about to do, but I'm going to trust you for it. And once you make the promise, all that we do is, don't put a name on this. We don't ask anybody to put a name. The promise is between you and God. But we are going to collect them, and collectively we're going to add up a number. And as we do over there once a year we put the number here, so we know what we're praying for. We're praying for this number. Now, we know it filters down to each of you in your own lives, but as a church, last year we promised $29,730, and we gave $18,581. Praise God, that's our best. And then you can see on the sheet how we divvied that money up. We gave almost all of it away. And we stayed within our budget. So we'll see what we do this year. You know, if it's that or less, then we work with what we have. We have to work with the promises that you are stepping out in. My challenge to anybody is make one, but start small if you're scared. Because God will help you. And next year you'll see that, man,
I can promise more. Because I saw God, bam, take care of that right in one or 2 weeks. My faith promise was taken care of. And so I'd like to ask whoever's going to help, come on down. We're going to go ahead and start doing some tabulating here. And all of you should have a blue card, but if you did not get a bulletin, you will not have a blue card. Is there anybody that needs a blue card right now here today to... I only see one hand. Is that it? Everybody else has a blue card? All right. Before you fill this out, let's read this together and make sure that we... This is critical here, the tabulation of this, because then our budget gets made from this. We don't want to make a mistake, okay? So if someone puts, you know, $1,000 a week and they meant $10 a week and they forgot to put the decimal point in there, that certainly is going to throw off what our number is going to be at the end. So we want to make sure people are doing this very slowly, carefully. And down at the bottom, you can see that we would just ask you to check if you're an adult, a youth, or a child. I don't see any children here today in our service. But if you're a youth or adult, please check that, because that just kind of helps us to make sure that that makes sense, or no, it does not make sense in the numbers that we have there. So let's read this together. It says, my 2022 faith promise. At the top there, it says, independence upon God, I promise to give. And then you have a blank there. Now, some people give on a weekly basis. Some give on a monthly basis. And then when it comes to faith promise, occasionally there are a few that like to just give a one-time gift. The timing of that is not on this, but they just plan this year. I'm planning to get, I won't be doing it weekly or monthly, but when that moment comes, this is what I'm going to be giving. Okay, so you can't put a one-time gift there. So if you're going to do a weekly, just realize that these people take that number and multiply that by 52. That's why we want to make sure that weekly number is what you really mean. Every week, this is what I plan to do. Or if you're only going to see, sometimes people are thinking monthly and they put it on the weekly line. And let me tell you, that throws off these numbers big time. And we just want to make sure that what we promise to our missionaries at the beginning of the year is doable based on what we actually do here. Okay, so... All right, so if you plan to give weekly, that first blank is what you want to put in, a number. If you plan to do it monthly, the second line, not the second row there, but the second line on that first row, you want to put in the monthly amount, or a one-time gift of. And then there's occasionally where someone will put a weekly and then a one-time gift. It's hard to calculate sometimes because we're not sure did you change your mind? Are you going to do both? So please just, I can see you doing both, but just make sure that if you're putting the weekly and then you say, well, I think I'll make it a monthly, mark out one so that we just know that it's one or the other. Okay, very important. All right, so independence upon God, I promise to give, whatever you put in there, toward the worldwide missions program of South Haven Christian Church. Just realize that this is the only funding source for our missions program right now. And whatever it is what it is. We have to work with what the promises are. There's nothing coming from our budget, general budget of the church, toward missions. This is it right here. So... take a moment. I'm going to pray, and then if you'll put your name, the amount. Do not put your name on this. After you put it in there, if you'll just fold it over and then just kind of pass it to the inside aisles here, and then I'm going to ask Wayne, maybe to just kind of go, each of you go down each side and just make sure that anybody that needs to turn something in, we get it. and then just bring it down to the table, and they'll start doing the tabulating. But let's pray here today for this. Father in heaven, we thank you for this one time a year that we get challenged in faith when it comes to our money. We know that the tithes that we give are important to our local church, and we give it faithfully. And then we've made a decision to support worldwide missions, and it's based on faith. And so right now, Father, I pray that you'll stir the hearts of every member, everyone that's here. I pray that you would assure them through your Spirit that you are no man's debtor, that if you have a desire to move in that direction, to support missions in the way that you've indicated on this card, and God knows that you are serious in your heart of hearts, I believe that there are going to be some testimonies shared next year of how powerful and how great, Father, you are when it comes to the missions programs of all churches around the world. Thank you for David and Etta. I know it's been a tough year and a half really for them down there, as it has been for us. But I pray that this will be the beginning of getting all their programs back online, that they will begin to sense progress. And Father, I heard loud and clear that there are four churches that are crying out loud for help. And David's had to say no at this point because he's not sure of the total support that he might get. And so I pray that we will be one of those churches that can boldly tell him you can count on this year, in hopes that maybe you can grow that program of yours, and that hundreds more kids might be able to hear a gospel story, a Bible story with a craft to drive it home. And we pray that our influence as a church can be felt through this mission group and family, and that kids in the DR grow up knowing your son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. want to start now with the promises for this year. Again, as we read these, we're just trying to give, especially newer members, a flavor of what goes on across the body here. First of all, we have a $100 a week gift. We have a $40 a week gift. We have a $100 one-time gift. We have a $100 a month gift. And we have a $20 a week gift. And that brings our first total here to $9,620. So there, that's our first allotment there. One here for $40 each month, a one-time gift of $50, a $200 a month gift. We have a dollar a week promise, and we have a $25 a month promise. And that brings us to a grand total at this point of $12,902. $30 a month, a one-time gift of $100, and another one-time gift of $100, and that brings us to $15,300. A week and a one-time month promise, a $20 a month promise, a one-time gift of $100, a $5 a month promise, a $50 a month promise. And as of today, now again, we leave this open one more week just for anyone that's not here today. But that brings us, drum roll. $29,508. So, all right. I think that's excellent when you realize, I mean, look around. This isn't the size group we had a year ago, and it's a much smaller group, and yet we promised what we promised last year. For the most part, I think it'll go over what we promised after we get a few more next week. Usually there are two or three that want to jump in on that, because they're just regular faith promise givers, and so we'll make sure they have that opportunity, and we'll finish that up next week. I want to thank David. Excellent report. Even in spite of, did every church here close? Here at home? Did every church close? No. We never closed. But it sounds like every church down there in the DR closed. Almost mandatory closure. And let me tell you, that messes with the habits that you have sometimes. You know, all of a sudden you can't do what you want to do. And so, excellent report. There's things still going on. There's still kids getting some lessons, and we hope that more can get them in the near future. Please don't forget the ministries. We've left them up a couple extra weeks. We got started a little late, and we've had a lot of activities going on, but pins are up. This week, we'll probably have this up one more week, and then they'll all come down. So please, if you haven't committed, if you're not signed up somewhere, this is how we show God our faith as well, and it's a faith of our time. Lord, I'm going to give you a year of my time with this ministry, and I need your help as I try to do my best, whatever it might be. This is local, of course, and the money that we just did is all worldwide. It goes somewhere else, and hopefully it's going to be for God's glory. All right, any announcements? We want to make a few announcements, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. I see a hand up top there. Yes? That was from Sarah, so don't, I mean, you can play around with me, but don't play around with Sarah. If she says be up there right after, you better be there. All right. Anything else that we need to announce forward? Yes, Barbara?
There's not going to be a CIA launch this month, because the CIA launch day is the day after Christmas.
Okay. Roads in Titusville. That is Christians in Action, because you got to drive to Titusville, but you know what's there, right? Where are we going to eat?
Crossroads.
Just want to make sure it's the same restaurant I think of when I go to Titusville. All right, you said McDonald's or something. I don't know. I wouldn't be quite as excited. All right, any other announcements? All right, someone said that there was a birthday that Luann? Oh. Not a birthday though, an anniversary. How many years right here? 20? 20 years. All right. Luann, I thought Don would give you up in a heartbeat, but he's not even in here, is he? I think Luann was looking this way and that way. She wasn't looking at me, you know, and Don's not here. I might get out of here, you know, without anybody knowing what's going on there. But all right, so happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. We want, Al may be seeing this, so everybody stand up for just a moment. We're going to have, and stay standing because we'll have a prayer. Turn around, look at that camera back there, and wave, and many more. All right. Turn around, stay standing. Turn around. We'll have a prayer here. I just wanted to, if he's listening in on this, he'll see that. Yes, you had an announcement? They do, and they're not on here? They're on here. How many years for you? 20 and 19. How about that? All right. Very good. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. That's my oversight. I looked down there, and I just saw the birthdays. All right. Yes? All right, so you got a chance to look this week and buy next. So, and just know that's all for missions as well, particularly in Haiti. Yeah. Where were you 5 minutes ago? All right, let's bow our heads. We'll be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for faith being exercised in this room. And now we're going to trust you, Father, for $29,500. We need help. This is going to be a tough year for our economy, I believe, and for many of us, but not for you. We know that you made this world and this universe, and you're in charge. And I'm sure this is not even a tall order for you to help us with our promises now. And I pray that you'll give us spiritual eyes, Father, to see how you help us meet those needs now throughout the coming year. Be with us as we depart. Just protect us from the evil one. Help us to be the bright and shining light that you call us to be. And protect us from the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus.